Well, good morning, church. So I have a lot of kind of tidbits this morning. I got to say that I'm not much about technology, and I appreciate the fact that my computer and my phone update daylight savings time schedule without me asking them to. And I just have to be really careful with those old-fashioned clocks, like on the stove and the microwave. And for some reason, I still can't quite get my head around spring forward and fall back. Do I gain an hour or do I lose an hour? Anyway, so thank you for my phone, Lord, and for my computer. So, enemy, who is your enemy? I am relatively sure that each one of us can think of someone in our lives that we kind of wish would go somewhere else. We don't want them hurt. We don't want them, you know, to come into any danger or any of that. We just wish they would go somewhere else. I have a list. Brother Curtis says about the word enemy, who is on your list of appalling people? These same people are the people Jesus associates with and welcomes indiscriminately. It seems that Jesus even loves them. He tells us to do the same. If loving them is too far of a reach, then remember that God loves them and that the God of love is not done with them yet or with you and me. As I was thinking about today, we've heard this reading many times. It's not a new one, which is one of the things about the lectionary that I have a little bit of issue with, because for 3 years you read the same scriptures, and every now and then it'd be nice to have a different one. But we take what we can get. But the thing that's confusing about the lectionary to me, and I suspect to some of you, is the fact that there's themes, but they don't go in the right chronological order. We already did the transfiguration, but it doesn't happen until way over here. So just for a few things, I just thought I'd talk just a little bit about that and what that means to us as we participate in the lectionary. So first of all, today's scriptures is early. Early. This is the first thing that happens after Jesus is baptized. And in this, I find it interesting, in this reading, it says that Jesus was led by the Spirit. Why? Why was the Spirit leading Jesus? I guess that's just the way that, since they didn't have email, that he knew where he was supposed to go. But this is right after his baptism. He's filled with the Holy Spirit, and he's led by the Spirit into the wilderness for 40 days and 40 nights. I can barely fast for 24 hours, much less 40 days. But of course, we're talking about Jesus. So he's tempted by the devil. And he defeats the devil and his temptations. But in the meanwhile, there's this kind of hanging thing about when Satan says, when the scripture says, he departed from him until an opportune time. To me, that's something to ponder. When is that opportune time? I thought about it. I just wasn't sure exactly where I pinpoint that. Maybe in the Garden of Gethsemane. Maybe that last minute on the cross when he felt like he was alone. I don't know about Jesus, but I do know, well, I know about Jesus, but I don't know about this about Jesus. But I do know that there are times, I joked about it this morning, about the little sanctuary demons, devils, nipping at my heels. And sometimes, you know, they're not there, and sometimes, especially when I'm down or not sure about some stuff, man, they're right there. And it's difficult for me to follow the example of Jesus and say, you know, y'all need to leave. I don't care if I'm going to win the lottery or not, y'all need to leave. Sometimes they do, and sometimes it takes a little while for them to get the idea. So if we go on chronologically into the Jesus ministry, pretty early on, Jesus feeds the 5,000 men, women, and children. And then right after that is when the transfiguration takes place. And then Jesus sends out his disciples, and then the parable of the Good Samaritan, and some other parables. Now, the interesting thing about some of the parables is that Matthew is the parable king. If you want to know about a parable, you need to go to the book of Matthew, because he was really, a lot of his parables aren't in other scripture, in other gospels. But he liked parables. And so we have lots of parables, the Good Samaritan, the lost coin, the prodigal son. And then Jesus continues on to his journey to Jerusalem. So in the next few little bit, today we're reading about the temptation. Next week, we will read about when the Pharisees warn Jesus to get out of town because Herod wants to kill him. And he says, go tell that fox for me. Listen, I'm casting out demons and performing cures today and tomorrow. So on the third day, I finish my work. That's what we'll read next week. So that skips a whole bunch of stuff. And I love the line in there about he gathering his brood under his wings like the chicks. So then the next week we will read in Luke about offerings and mixing blood and all that stuff. And he says, no, I tell you, unless you repent, you will all perish just as they did. I'm going to leave that one alone. I'm going to save that one. And then in this same scripture reading, we'll hear the parable of the fig tree, which is, again, one that causes deep thought for me. The poor fig tree, who knows? Who knows whether the farmer just didn't take care of him, whether he was ready to go on. But it's kind of harsh. Kind of harsh. And then we move on, and the next week we'll get the parable of the prodigal son. And that'll be lots of fun. So one of the things that I would suggest that we do is to maybe, after Easter, if you all are up for it, look at how the Gospels, how they progress, and what's called the Synoptic Gospels, which are Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and then John is in a class all his own, and where their writings cross and where their writings don't cross. So I already said that we know that that John the Baptist preaches and baptizes, and that as soon as he finishes, Jesus goes into the wilderness. John the Baptist then identifies Jesus as the Messiah, and then we continue on into all the teachings and goings on that he tells us about, that he participates in to offer us our salvation. Some of just for fun, some of Matthew's parables are the wheat and the weeds, the yeast, parable of the yeast, and let's see, what else is his? Hidden treasure and the pearl of great value. Anyway, those are all Matthean parables, to name a few. So one of the things that I take a little break from that, and just because I was thinking about Lent and this kind of popped up, so when it popped up, I went ahead and typed it in. And we've talked about in the past some of the music that we listen to, and this wasn't one that I researched, but it was one that just was there. And that's the one of 40 Days and 40 Nights, which is intended for Lent sometime. And just FYI, it was first appeared in a religious periodical called The Penny Post. And that was in Scotland. So we have a lot to be thankful for in that piece of music. The first verse reading, 40 Days and 40 Nights. You were fasting in the wild 40 days and 40 nights, tempted and yet undefiled. So my next thought as I moved along was, okay, Jesus was tempted by things that basic necessities, food, power, I don't know if that's a necessity. And he resisted all of those things. And there are times when food and power and so forth tempt me also. So I thought about that, and I'm like, okay, how can I use Jesus as an example to get through the times that I am tempted? How do I make room for Jesus in my soul to get me through the times that I am tempted? Because I can't do it myself. I know that for a fact. So I've been thinking about that, and also thinking about that, and thinking about what I've said so far these last few weeks about giving something up. And when you give something up, you make space in your soul for something else. And if you're not careful, that space in your soul, those little demons, somebody's going to fill it up. So I'm taking the challenge to make sure that I fill my little spots up with something that helps me to follow Jesus. If I'm angry, I can find tolerance. I'm doing pretty good with changing the, rather than just changing the language of the person that cuts me off, I have also changed it to offering a blessing for that person. Offering a blessing for people who don't agree with me, for our enemies. So as we continue on our journey, what I'm going to ask you to take time to turn over in your souls and your hearts is those things that you find troublesome. What in your life is really difficult for you to deal with? And what would it take to get rid of it? Sometimes we can do it with prayer and relationship with God. Sometimes we even have to go into a sort of wilderness, a place where there's nothing else but me and God. And knowing that something out there is after me and tempting me, but it's me and Jesus. And that can't overcome that. So what is it that you would like to give up? We're just getting started on Lent. This is the first Sunday. There's still time. How can you imagine getting rid of that negativity? I know I just said that, but I'm going to say it again. How can you imagine turning it over to God? And when things get you down, that you don't go back and grab it again? How are you going to fill the empty space of that negativity with God's love and God's promise? And trust that God is in you and with you. So that's kind of a lot. And I have this really, really good kind of chart of how these G Jesus travels go, if you're interested in seeing it. It's way too much for me to do right here, but I find it really interesting because when I think of Jesus, I don't think of him in a certain place historically. When I think of Jesus, I think of him here, now. So what this exercise has done for me, and perhaps you will find something similar or something of your own, is to redirect me. To redirect me to the historic Jesus that makes it possible for Jesus to be right here. Amen. So please stand. And together we'll say the words of the Nicene Creed, the statement of faith of our church. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Of him all things were made, for us and for our salvation, and down from heaven, by the power of the Holy Spirit, he became incarnate from the Virgin Mary and was made man. For our sake he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day he rose again, in accordance with the scriptures. He ascended into heaven and seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, who proceeds from the Father and the Son. With the Father and the Son, he is worshipped and glorified. He has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy, Catholic, and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
Let us pray the prayers of the people. Father, we pray for your holy Catholic Church. Grant that every member of the Church may truly and humbly serve you. We pray for all bishops, priests, and deacons.
That they may be faithful ministers of your sacraments.
We pray for all who govern and hold authority in the nations of the world. Give us grace to do your will in all that we undertake. Have compassion on those who suffer from any grief or trouble. Give to the departed eternal rest. We praise you for your saints who have entered into joy. Let us pray for our own needs and those of others, especially for the unity of our country. For victims of natural disasters and war. We pray to you also for the forgiveness of our sins. Have mercy upon us, most merciful Father. In your compassion, forgive us our sins, known and unknown, things done and left undone. And so uphold us by your Spirit, that we may live and serve you in newness of life, to the honor and glory of your name, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.